Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 81. Today on the show, guys, we're talking about Frohnner, getting all that honor up in here. Some good indies that came out.
One word, Frohnner.
Frohnner, not For Honor, Frohnner, the Ubisoft game. More indies, like I said. We're going to be retconning some fake news that we may or may not have perpetrated
ourselves.
There was
some fake news.
Without further ad dudes.
DJ.
Very nice DJ call out, Tyler.
Good.
I really appreciated
that.
That's
good.
So we should say right off the bat that we fucked up.
Well,
in news.
No, first of all, I'm Tyler.
That's not entirely true.
Ooh. No. I like this. Go ahead. Do it again.
I'm Tyler.
Oh my God, it's Kevin.
And I'm your host, Matt. Seeing that what happened there is usually it goes me, Kevin, Tyler. Tyler fucking flipped the script right up on you guys.
Bizarro episode.
New year, new him, new show.
It's
only March.
Wow.
Not March yet.
Yeah, that resolution. That resolution going.
Yeah.
Strong, huh?
He's trying to make his stake in the world as Tyler, the gaming master. Little known fact, Tyler was actually the first person in the world to score 1 billion points in Nibbler.
Did you know the first person named in the world was named Tyler?
Okay, back to my fact. That's completely false. That's the topic of a documentary I watched recently on Netflix called Man vs. Snake. It's like King of Quarters.
I was just going to
except
ask
for
like King of Quarters.
It's like King of Quarters, except for instead of like Billy Mitchell, who, you know, he's like Mullet Man himself, and like normal guy Steve, or whatever his last name was, now it's like fucking aging man who works in a factory and doesn't do anything with his life versus Canadian drug fiend. I don't know if he's actually a drug fiend, but it's a very different dynamic. Still a very good doc, though. I recommend it. Before we actually get into why we fucked up and how we were giving you guys fake news, I do want to also introduce Calla, the studio dog. You might hear her in the background. You might not. She's a lovely dog, and she's also a lovely cast member of Super Gamecast 64.
She is.
But guys, I'm about to drop a bomb on you. You ready for this one?
The bathroom's that way.
No, I'm not. Not that kind of bomb. A kind of bomb that feels good for everyone. I guess that's actually the opposite of what
the
a bomb
same
is.
Bomb. Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
No.
Unless it's a love bomb or a bath bomb.
Ooh, I actually got my girlfriend some bath bombs for Valentine's Day.
I bet you did.
One was called, and that's not a joke. One was called Intergalactic.
Planetary.
The other one was called
Extraordinary
Sex Bomb. I told her to mix it together and fuck the universe.
Ba-bomb.
That wasn't a... that. I really got those two, but that joke, that was all original. Anyways, so...
I couldn't tell that it was homebrewed.
Do you guys remember a friend we used to have on this show? He was a mechanical sort. We tried for a very, very long time.
Well, I tried to keep him in you know, patched up and tuned.
Well, for a long...
Are you talking about Rush?
No.
Oh.
I mean, he's mostly mechanical
now. Oh, okay,
now, so.
Yeah, he's a cyborg. I forgot.
He's more like, he's like an android, like a bio.
Oh, he's a mandroid.
A mandroid.
I mean, you've seen all that steam coming out of him.
Yeah, true story. That was a, steam
oh
there
God.
Had a double
that
meaning.
That was a deep cut.
That was a very, very good one. Anyways,
oh,
our good friend,
God.
He only comes around when one of you beautiful nerds goes ahead and reviews us on the iTunes service. We usually don't get reviews because, you know what, you guys can sometimes not want to review us. I understand. It's a few, it's like 25 seconds, so why
it
should you take
so
that?
Long? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
who's got like 20 seconds to do anything nowadays?
Seriously.
Fucking Flappy Bird took all my time. Anyways, we do have a amazing 5-star review from Womp Womp or Wamp Wamp. I don't know. I don't have the iTunes open anymore because that shit
womp.
Is just crashing my computer.
I think is what it said.
Womp Womp. Womp,
no,
womp.
No, you're not pronouncing it right. You know how in Chinese, like, the different words mean different things based on your inflection?
Yeah, so, like, instead of ni hao, it's ni hao.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This one is womp womp.
Okay, so womp womp.
There you go.
Had a great review for us, but we never read the reviews ourselves.
Because we can't.
No,
we that's actually, why we use Audible.
Yeah, no, not Audible.
I'm sorry, Audio Baby.
Not Audio Baby. Oh. We use our good friend, the Review Robot 2K12-3000. Let's give him a little boot up. Hey, Review Robot, how have you been?
It was so dark and so cold. I was asleep for so long, but I have finally awakened. I must have justice.
He looks a little sparky. Is that...
I'm not doing a very good job at keeping him up. I'm just terrible.
That's probably why he keeps cutting in and out. All right, you know what? We'll save the introductions for some other time. You know him. If you've been on the show, you know him. He's a loving guy.
Why don't you love me like you used to? You can't just turn me off like some machine.
But we have another review for you to read, Mr. Review Robot 2K12-3000.
Not that loving. Not that
no,
loving.
No, he's not that kind of...
Don't lie to
you
them.
You know how you've seen that show Westworld? It's like the opposite of that.
Seesaw Motor Functions.
Yeah, Seesaw. That looks like nothing to me. we have this review. Mr. Review Robot 2K12-3000.
What's going on?
It's okay. Can you please read us this review?
Listen through a good number of episodes at this point. These guys are great. They argue like little kids at a playground and it results in that good. Tyler seems like such a curmudgeon and I want to give him a hug. Give it a listen if you likes games.
Wow, that's actually pretty nice. I don't...
Speak for yourself.
Tyler is a curmudgeon.
Okay, Tyler...
Hugs.
Tyler, we give Tyler... All right, so let me break down for you real quick. There's a schedule we have here at the SGC studio. You know how, like, when you go into a retail outlet like a Walmart or a Kroger's or an Amazon's, and they have, when you're in the bathroom, they have, like, a little schedule, and it's like, all employees must wash their hands.
Or, I thought you were talking about, like, the bathroom cleaning schedule on the back of the door.
Well, yeah, that too. Oh, you know, okay. Well, that, you know, you have a little bathroom cleaning... The little cleaning sketch
that everybody lies about.
On the front of actually Tyler's bedroom door, there's a hugging schedule. and let me just say, Kevin,
it's
you're
been
saying,
blank for years.
Yes, Kevin dropped off. I was never there in the first place. Tyler, the other day I went there and I looked at your schedule. I noticed that you've been signing it yourself.
No.
How have you, are you Goro from the Mortal Kombat franchise?
Got long arms.
Well, you know what? Whatever gets it done. Thank you, Review Robot 2K12-3000. Why don't you go back in your little corner and
go
maybe...
back in your hole.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, no, well,
I'll fucking destroy you.
Don't step back.
Hold me back.
Back.
Hold me back.
Back in there.
Kevin,
easy.
Get him. Someone tell...
I'll
someone,
fucking
someone
destroy
use
you.
Use the stop phrase.
Seasonal motor functions.
You guys suck. I'm out of here.
All right, he's out of here. Okay. So the Review Robot 2K12-3000 was a ginormous failure in every mechanical way on our part. Speaking of other failures, we also failed delivering accurate news.
That's an alternative fact.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? So last week, we gave you guys a little bit of that news that... shout out to Kala, the studio dog, if you can hear.
There she is.
We gave her some of that good new news that Deep Silver had picked up publishing rights for Psychonauts 2.
Blew it.
Yeah.
Isn't Deep Silver that computer that beat that dude at chess?
They're the only winning. The only winning move.
It's Deep Blue.
The only winning move is to play with yourself.
Is to play war games.
HAL Laboratories.
That is not the developer or publisher we're talking about.
No, it's not.
HAL Laboratories.
Is a wiener dog in a nest with some eggs.
Fuck them. So
what?
Starbreeze and Deep Silver. I don't know why I get these guys confused. I think it's because their logos.
Sorry,
he's a little
slow on the uptake as well as being a curmudgeon.
Well, I mean, HAL to me is a couple of lines and some dots on
HAL
a Kirby.
HAL to me is, I can't let you do that.
Yeah, that is also HAL to me. It's a 2001 Space Odyssey HAL.
Yeah, well,
by Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
But also, I could understand why HAL would be the little lines on Kirby because, you know, you align yourself more with a large, fluffy monster.
I was just thinking of that logo that was on Smash for 64 with the wiener dog laying in the nest and the three eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was
talking
about.
You don't think
about.
Those are puppies?
No, they're eggs.
You think they're eggs?
Yeah. Dogs lay eggs. Why would there not be eggs in the nest
that's
that a dog
a really,
is in?
It's a, okay.
Jesus Christ.
That's,
everybody knows that dogs lay eggs.
That's an alternative fact. So the true fact of the matter on that story we reported last week is that not Deep Silver, but Starbreeze Studios has footed the bill for the publishing, Starbreeze Studios, that I'm reading off of this nice little thing that, that Tyler has produced for me, is a video game development studio based in Stockholm, Sweden. They're also a publisher. Notable games that they've made. Are you ready for these notable games, my friends?
So ready.
Tell me if you've played any of these as I go down the line. Have you ever played that game, Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Vin Diesel's Tortured Mind?
Hell yes, it was a great game.
That was a very, very, very good game. Have you ever played Payday 2,
yes.
Which is pretty much Cops and Robbers, but on a video game?
It's good. I played it.
That's a good time. And Brothers, A Tale of Two Souls. I've actually played this, and this isn't a game you joke about, because it's fucking good.
Is that the one with, what's her name in it?
No, it's the one where you have two brothers, and it's A Tale of Two Brothers.
Okay.
And, like, you have one brother that you control with the left
hand. Ellen Page isn't one of the brothers.
Tale of Two Sons.
Tale of Two Sons, not Tale of Beyond the Souls. That's Ellen Page.
Which is different than Beyond Soul Suspect.
Which is different than Murdered Soul Suspect.
That's a ghost.
Which is different from Fatal Frame.
Which is different from...
That's Asian Ghost Girls.
L.A. Noire.
That...
Shadow of the Colossus. See if you can link that one.
This is fun. This is good. Okay, Shadow of the Colossus. And... Shadow of the Empire, Star Wars.
I don't even know where we're going with this.
You have to use the old garbage cans.
Wait, what the fuck is that? That doesn't even follow the format.
Wait, garbage cans. Paperboy.
Hey! See,
one understands what the fuck we're talking about.
I don't know what the rules were for a second there. I thought the rules were that you had to take one of the words from the video game title and then say another game title.
Yeah, no, I like
and
that.
And then,
like
but
that.
Then there was more like
garbage cans.
How did you?
You know what you guys just saw? You guys just saw a. You guys just saw a bit in the making.
That was live workshopping is what that was.
I think Doug Benson and the Doug Loves Movies, I think they do a game little show that is similar to that.
Okay.
But we can jack that because we're
garbage can.
No, before
knack.
Let's leave it at that. Tyler, do you have anything more to say about the Starbreeze not deep silver fiasco? Of SGC 2017.
Now's the time to buy stocks. They're less than $2.
Well, there you go. You know, if you really think that Psychonauts is going to knock it out of the park, which we all hope it does. But
yeah, man. Do it.
If history is any indicator.
Or don't.
They're going to knock it. Maybe like a baseline hit.
Maybe if you were psychic, you would know.
You can go to a summer camp for that.
That was a great audio. That was a nice water noise.
That was me making a little slurp. I got my water.
Keeping healthy.
Yeah, gotta keep healthy.
Gotta keep hydrated. Whistle wet.
Holy shit. I got breaking news, guys. Breaking news.
Okay.
Aliens have actually been discovered. It is now known, without a doubt, that aliens do exist.
Yeah, our president's an alien. Everybody knows that. His hair is the antenna.
In the video game Elite Dangerous.
What is this?
When I said aliens existed, you guys did not elicit the response that I thought.
Yeah, everyone knows aliens exist. They got chemicals in the water to turn the frogs gay.
Fucking Blink-182 wrote a song about this ages ago.
Sure.
So, Elite Dangerous, what do we know?
Nothing.
It's a space sim combat. You shoot. Sometimes you go into bases. You fly around the area.
Ooh, space, Dead Space.
Space.
It's like Dead Space, but without any of the horror and without any of the shooting. It's more like if Star Fox wasn't
Star.
Yeah, you're thinking Dead Star. This is Elite Dangerous.
Dead Star's that game you wanted to be really good and it sucked, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one that tanked that just like has no support. It's gone now.
Sorry.
Do you need a memoriam for that? It's okay, bud. Do you hear that? It's like a little whisper as another
Tyler's. This has been another episode of Tyler's ASMR.
Another. Tyler delivers the best ASMR.
Complete with tissue wrinkling and cartoon like nose blowing. Nasal voice back, baby.
Oh, where's Throatman to back him up? There, it's with.
What am I both now?
Yes.
No, you were Throatman and then Kevin was nasal.
Precisely.
Boy. I think this is a great, great time to insert our tagline. Super Gamecast 64, a comedy show that's also a video game show. And if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. Sometimes Tyler doesn't laugh, and that makes me question whether or not he's killed people. But then I know that I'm safe around him.
Yeah, sociopaths don't have to have killed people.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Well...
Right.
It's psychopath versus sociopath.
Yeah.
Right.
Get your shit right, Freud. Come on.
Speaking of things I don't know about, aliens. So what do we know? What are the hard facts about these aliens in Elite Dangerous? From the video,
there are hard facts about these aliens.
From the footage, well, everybody was musing for a while. Now, this happened a few weeks ago, but now game sites are starting to interview the guy. I saw a headline that said, "Meet the guy who discovered aliens in Elite Dangerous," and it's almost like this fucking future world where that's going to become a major headline. And someone's like, "Look, meet the amazing man who ran into aliens in real life in the video game, though." So they're talking to this guy, and they're like, "Tell us all about your life story and how you became to be the guy who discovered aliens."
This is Joe Trimble, the man who discovered aliens in the game.
Hey, you can also check out my awesome clothing line, Trimble's Thumbles. They're pants you wear that Trimble's you put on thimbles. Your hands.
Trimble's Thimbles. There Trimble, it is.
Trimble's Thimbles, the man who lived in the crooked shoe.
What the...
Okay, when you said thimble, it made me think of Thumbelina, which is somewhat of a fairy tale, and then somewhat like zigzag fairy tale, the man who lived in the crooked shoe. Or is it the crooked house?
Or the old lady who lived in a shoe, and then there was a crooked man who... Whatever. Hey, dude, this is just getting out of hand.
Aliens were found in Elite Dangerous, so what happened with the aliens that were found in Elite Dangerous is a guy was just perusing the game space. You know, he was just flying around, maybe trying to incite some combat, doing some resource gathering, as you do in such games. And then suddenly, he lost all control of his vehicle. His star vehicle, and all of a sudden a portal opened up, and then this giant thing that can only be described as like
an alien warship,
an alien flower. It was like it looked like a big ass flower, and then it just hovered, and it kind of watch the video. I don't want to spoil all for you. It wasn't like
here's how the event occurred in my mind. Like, this is exactly how it went down. Like,
secondary report.
There's this guy. He's like this dude that just takes the game way too seriously. He's like, "Stardate 693.
Captain's log.
Still no aliens, but I know they're out there. I guess I just have another sleepless night of Elite Dangerous." And it just says, like, "Joe Trimble's logged online." And Joe's like, "Guys, this is a great space game, but are there aliens? Oh my god, what's that flower?" And everybody's like, "Joe, you found it on your first day. We've been looking for years."
The fucking captain's logs are just stacking up in the back. People are killing themselves live in their cabin because they're not the man. They're not the man or woman who found that elusive alien species. Beyond that,
Trimble's a hero in everyone's heart.
In short, somebody encountered a scripted moment in which the fucking aliens appeared. Happened to be in their sector.
Do you think that this was always in the game? Or do you think that they just added it because people were like, "What if..."
I don't think it was always in the game, because this game gets updated every 5 seconds. And
it's an old game. Like,
this game has been out for a while. Like,
it's a couple years.
At least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think this was in the game for forever, and then all of a sudden they... Because it's not like No Man's Sky where it's infinite.
I mean, like, there's so many people who like this game, and clearly people are playing it long enough for it to be out for 3 years.
I hear it's
years.
Super dope in VR. Maybe that's not Elite Dangerous. Maybe that's something else. Because there are other similar, space games and stuff like that. Alright, but that's, aliens, they're found in the video game. Hopefully it'll be something cool. This is kind of what I imagined when I was thinking about No Man's Sky and how I want it to be. You know, planetary exploration with missions, but then aliens are something you encounter. Because you're in, like, this uncharted territory. I don't know.
Maybe that's, like, the long game that No Man's Sky is playing. They promised all this stuff. It came out. Everyone was overwhelmed. So now only the hardcore people are still playing.
Well, is there really even a hardcore audience anymore? Most people just play shit on their phones. Even look at you guys. You know, like, would you assimilate yourself more with the hardcore audience or the casual audience?
I'm a casual.
But you guys are hardcore gamers. No, that's what I'm saying. If I put a quote-unquote hardcore game down in front of you, you'd be able to play it with ease.
Yeah.
I think,
like, what?
Call of Duty,
Fury.
Halo.
No. Yes.
Yeah, anything that requires more than tapping and dragging.
Fair.
Or clicking on one thing.
Isaac.
Yeah. Isaac. Okay.
Yeah, see,
all right, you got me
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. I think what's weird is that we used to have this casual/hardcore market, but that was very much in PS2 and PS3 days.
Yeah.
And now so many fucking people play video games that you're a gamer, which is just kind of your inherent level of skill and or your aptitude with a controller and a keyboard. I think that's what it comes down to.
Word.
Anyways, we're running long on this silly little aliens bit. It's not a bit. It was a real thing that happened. But let's hop over onto this. I'm going to take a backseat to this, because you guys know more about this than I do. But all I've heard is close to $6 million raised for charity. from this already?
Precisely.
For ACLU.
Well, it ended. It's over.
But okay, so let's talk about what it was. Tyler.
Let's not go through all the games.
Yeah, don't go through all the games.
Well, it's a long list.
Yeah, just go through them. Like,
tell them what this was.
Jeepers.
For someone who does not know anything about what Humble...
While you peruse your list and tell me which ones you think are
you want
like...
to get highlights? Okay.
Well, yeah. Just give us like the big names.
Start with that or do you want to end with that?
What do you mean?
Well, explain them.
Oh, we'll end with that. Okay, so Humble Bundle is this program that was started probably two or three years ago, where developers get together and they hawk their games by way of humblebundle.com to gamers who can pay what they want to access these developers' games. From that,
these aren't just like offshot games. These are games that you can see on Steam and stuff like that. It's just that they have gone and chosen to go with the Humble Bundle because of the way their pay scheme works and how everything works out with that company.
And what the great thing about that is that as when you donate, you can choose where your funds are allocated. You can choose whether they're allocated to the developers, to the different charities that they represent. And so it gives you these sliders that you can change the dollar amount that goes to these different charities or developers that, you know, that are participating in that particular bundle. So the most recent one was for the ACLU in light of the recent political events that have been occurring. And so this, I would argue, is probably one of the biggest bundles that they've ever done. This is certainly the biggest bundle in terms of the games released.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw this, if you want to just say this box or this advertisement, pop up on my Facebook, on every gaming site I was on. This is a thing. And Humble Bundle is something that goes on all the time. So this and being so
they do like
populated
book bundles now and all other sorts of things. And the way it works, obviously, is you can pay anything and get the games, or you can pay the average amount or higher and get all of the games in the bundle.
Yeah, so you can pay like $1 for a game, or if like, hey, everyone seemed to be throwing 20 or 30 bucks towards this thing, pay that and then you get all the games. Tyler, can we move to Tyler? Tell us some of these fantastic games, both popular and maybe some of your own favorites that you've seen.
So for $30, you got somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 games.
That's pretty damn good.
We're talking crazy good. Day of the Tentacle, World of Goo, Mushroom 11. Is that right? Yes. Right. No Time to Explain, Super Hexagon, VVVVVV, Guacamelee, 30 Flights of Loving, Song of the Deep,
Stanley Parable.
Scroggy Wood, Ellipsis, Subnautica, Super Meat Boy, Stardew Valley.
What?
Tower of Guns, Retro Game Crunch, Rockets, 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 Nuclear Throne, The Swapper, Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, Guns of Icarus Online, Cube, Super Galaxy Squadron EX, Time Frame, Jump Jack Rex, Potato Man Seeks the Truth. I mean, this is fantastic. Well, Shuchimi.
Just from the few that you mentioned.
Hand of Fate, goddammit.
See, well, just from the few that you mentioned.
You have that for free.
If we're talking, well, but just as is. If you're looking at the games, you said, what was it? How many? 30 bucks for 40, 45 or something?
Roughly.
Okay. So, 30 bucks. I bought Guacamelee for 15, spent $5 on the Hand of Fate stuff as is, and then at least, I think, spread across the games you've mentioned, I probably spent close to like $100.
I averaged it out. I actually looked it up because, I mean, I bought it immediately and then I looked up how much the bundle was worth.
Because that's
this
less...
bundle is worth $560.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's ridiculous.
Do we know
looking at
how
less
much,
than a dollar game.
Do we know how much that bundle made?
$6 million.
$6 million for charity.
So that's crazy, man.
Yeah, guys, it goes to show you just how much video games are actually popular and not just a little thing. I mean, not like that. Not that people were arguing that it's small business.
Video games are dumb and useless.
But with the thing like AGDQ pulling in 2.5 million and and now the Humble Bundle.
Take that, AGDQ.
Yeah. Speaking of AGDQ, we will be having an interview with AGDQ's own Ben Stevens 56. He's the man with the plan. He's the guy who speed ran Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the 3DS. I had the pleasure of covering that for NintendoStar.com when the event was going on. We'll talk to him at the tail end of the show about speedrunning Legend of Zelda, some Switch stuff. We'll just have a nice little gab with him. But that's not till the end of the show. Hey, guys.
I love that song.
Guys, remember that Audible that was sponsoring us for a while? They're back.
They're back. Wow, after one episode.
I could not believe it.
They missed us so much that they asked us to come back.
And hey, they're back and they are
generating so much traffic for them.
They're sponsoring us. They're loving us. And you know what that means for you guys? If you guys go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, start your own free audiobook trial, you'll get a free audiobook. And these aren't just like little teeny tiny ones. You can select from a large catalog. As we've already said so many times on the show, you can even get books like It or Of Fire and Ice?
Song of Ice and Fire?
Song of Ice and Fire. Those books are like 50 hours long.
You live under a stupid rock?
I don't fucking know. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the Rocky lives under a stupid.
Yeah.
Rocky. You insult the rock.
Rocky Balboa. Ha. Ha ha ha. Anyways, you if you guys like, Bible, if bet, you like audiobooks, probably. If you like audiobooks, Audible.
Game's Norse mythology.
Audible is the leading audiobook provider online. It is an Amazon's company, as we like to say here in the Midwest.
Amazon's?
Yeah, it's an Amazon's company. And yeah, you can use your free audiobook. If you don't like the service, it's okay. You can cancel it after you get your free month. No sweat off our back. Everything you do helps out the show. But if you guys are looking, you want a new book, and you don't have the scratch for it, why don't you listen to it with your ears? go ahead to audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get your free audiobook today. Or alternatively, Kevin.
Well, no, I was just going to say, if you don't listen to it with your ears, you can do what Mozart did and just set the phonograph on the mantle and bite it.
Yeah, that's always a...
That's how he did it. He bit the mantle and, like, the...
Be like Mozart.
Sound waves would reverberate through his skull, and that's how he listened to music, because he was deaf.
That sounds dangerous.
Are you sure it was Mozart?
It might have been Beethoven.
Beethoven was actually deaf.
It might have been Beethoven.
Audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get your free audiobook today. Don't wait. Don't delay. It doesn't cost you anything. Stop sleeping on it. Help out the show. Everything you do.
Stop sleeping on it. You're going to miss that great Audible book.
Yeah. Guys, stop.
Sleep
all right.
During that also, great don't Audible sleep book.
On your phone. It's not good for you.
Let's go back to the show. What I want to talk about now is the games. We don't have tons of games on here, guys. It's kind of a light week. You know, that's fine because we have an interview coming up. So we don't want to have a huge show, but we do want to talk about some games. So first and foremost, let's talk about For Honor.
I'm about this game. I love this game.
That's good.
But I didn't play that campaign.
So we've touched it yet.
We're talking about For Honor is the Ubisoft released on Tuesday. What the hell was that date?
Oh, I don't know. Valentine's Day?
Oh, Valentine's Day is the day it came out. I played it. I was like, honey, here's some chocolates. Here's some roses. I'm going to go play this game about being a warrior.
That's actually not how it happened.
I have some white guys to kill. I got some... Dude, everybody is white in that game. Even the samurai. Why? It's a side point. So, For Honor, here's how it worked for me. I was like, shit, I played the open and closed betas a teeny bit. I wasn't a huge fan of the multiplayer, but I'm really looking forward to this campaign. This campaign. I'm one of them single-player narrative kind of dudes.
Tell me you love it.
No, not that I don't love it.
Tell me you don't hate it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Oh, that's good. Good.
That's what I was hoping.
I don't hate it. Here's the thing. Let me cap this water. Some good ASMR for you.
That's awful.
I'm going to enjoy that tomorrow.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Anyways, it's
not going to be on tomorrow. Are you kidding? I got so much editing to do. Jeez. I hate myself for doing this.
Oh, boy.
Anyway,
oh,
so golly. The single player, I was hoping to have at least some sort of cohesive narrative and stuff. But here's the single player in a nutshell. You start off with the knights. You have three chapters. You go knights, then you go Vikings, then you go samurai.
So you go Terran, then you go Zerg, and then you go Protoss.
It's very much like StarCraft kind of thing, but instead of being a real-time strategy, it was a good joke. It was a good pull. Nice ref for Rand.
You don't,
think.
Sick you don't play StarCraft.
I play StarCraft sometimes.
Anyways.
Ask what my APM is. 4.
Is it 4?
So what Kevin just said was that his APM, or actions per minute in StarCraft, are 4. Most pros can do some ridiculous hundreds upon hundreds of APM.
I hear you need to have 300 to compete with the
Koreans.
The Koreans.
That's not like some sort of like racial thing.
No, it's legitimately like
Korean players are StarCraft.
Korean high school teams literally have StarCraft, or high schools have StarCraft teams.
Yeah, it's a thing there. Anyways, so For Honor is made by Ubisoft. You have three distinct chapters. You play as the knights, you play as the Vikings, you play as the samurai. They're all in this never-ending war, seemingly. And as you play through, there's about six level...
For what?
For Honor.
Oh, you're doing okay.
Well, that's the thing, is that so the narrative only... the narrative itself, it's not very succinct. Like, it gets lost in translation somewhere. Let me explain. You have six levels per chapter, and that allows you to play as different classes within each of the factions, because the online is kind of like a fighting game. You know, you got your fast dude, your big dude, your grappler, you know, that kind of stuff. So you play as each of these kind of classes within the faction. The problem is that they also have... It's not a problem. The cutscenes and stuff are really cool, and they're really good-looking, like, visually... This game is fantastic as the story. It stunned me visually, consistently. The audio was like, meh. But the problem it has is it spends so much time on cutscenes. All of the characters are helmeted, sans like two or three people. And since they all sound like white voice actor number three, it's kind of hard to distinguish. There's a big, like, the antagonist, her name is Apollyon. And she's like...
Really?
Yeah. Apollyon.
Isn't that the character from Isaac, the newest expansion?
It's like A-P-O-L-L-Y-O-N.
Yeah, that's the character.
All from right, so Apollyon.
Interesting.
She's like the warlord of the knights. You start out under her command, and then soon you realize that she's kind of a bitch. And she's like, I'm going to do these terrible things.
Clearly, she does not have honor.
Yeah, no, she doesn't have honor.
That's why you're fighting.
For example, light spoiler, fast forward 15 seconds, towards the end of the Viking campaign, she's like, we could either destroy all this food, but we're going to leave just enough for one of tribes so they all kill each other instead. She's one of those kind of people.
Machiavellian.
She just wants to watch the world burn, and eventually you realize that nothing's going to happen, and then so you're Vikings, and then you're...
She doesn't have any honor, which is why you're fighting for honor.
For honor.
So that...
Except you're not, because there's so many times in which there's civil wars going on, and then you're killing your own friends...
How do you know when you have enough honor?
Well,
I mean, after the first chapter, you have at least three honor. After the second chapter, two.
Okay.
After the third chapter, you have three, but there are only three chapters.
Then you have to go into the multiplayer.
So the DLC is
The multiplayer is where you get four honor.
Okay, right. Four honor.
Okay.
All right, I'm with you.
So all kidding aside, here's the pros. Kidding aside, Kevin nearly fucking choked on some whatever mystery syrup he has in his goddamn goblet. It's over
water.
Oh yeah, whatever you want to say. Fucking this guy. Live studio audience.
We do have a live studio audience.
Yeah. Anyways, all kidding aside. Okay. He goes again. He's fucking this guy. Pro Magnum, I could say. It's got a very competent fighting system, and the fighting is deep and very, very well done, and I can see why they focused it on the multiplayer, because that's where it shines. In the campaign, they spend too much time where it's just run here, kill these people, here's some story flavor. Eventually, the story's just like, at the end, you're like, ow, what the fuck?
Where's the honor?
Where's the honor? What's the point of this honor? And then, yeah, well, so they waste...
Then you go into multiplayer, it's time to get some honor.
That's pretty much what it is. It's almost like the story is just like, this is why there's so much multiplayer, motherfucker. And then you're like, okay. Like, I would have preferred if you would have leaned back on the narrative if you weren't going to have a strong narrative.
But here's the thing. War.
What is it good for?
Has changed.
War
never changes.
War is eternal.
Aren't we all just fighting ourselves? Moving on to the next... Wait, we're not going to move on.
I want to talk about something.
So let me just end my thing on the campaign. So the campaign, the final nail in the coffin here was I played it through co-op, okay? The game itself, the campaign, is meant to be played by one person. When you're going in co-op, the cutscenes disregard a second person. Even on missions in which you're escorting somebody, the second player does not play as that person. They just play as a clone of whoever you're playing. Because of that, when they have their quote-unquote boss battles, let me give you some of these air quotes, boss battles. It's just one guy who's pretty good instead of being a grunt. Now, the problem is when you have one guy who's pretty good, but then you have two people who are actually fucking humans. All it takes is one person to attack him from the front.
I don't think you needed air quotes around that.
And then other... No, but it, but I like doing the air quote noise because it feels like tactile. It's like tactile. Yeah, it feels real good. Disregarding air quotes. I should knit?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take it up after I perfect my... That's, see, it's a little still sloppy. Anyways, the point is you can just have one person stand in front of the boss monster dude, hit him, and then when that guy's like, fuck you, I'm going to hit you, the other guy behind him is like, nope, and hits him in the back of the head, and the boss is too stupid to, I don't know, take multiple aggro, so he just turns around and goes, oh, now I'm going to hit you. And then the first player just goes, donk, and hits him on the back of the head. That's how he killed the last boss.
A real hard Looney Tunes vibe from that image.
No, it is. It's essentially... I'm just
picturing the dog, like the big dog from Tom and Jerry. You know, the big bulldog?
Yes.
And just... anyway.
What this makes happen is that if you play on co-op...
Probably beef or something.
Brutus.
If you play on co-op, the game isn't hard. It's just, it's literally, you can just cheat it because they don't add a second boss character for the other person to fight. It's just a 2-on-1 battle and it's always unfair. Moving on to Tyler, because Tyler, you played some of the online.
Oh, yeah.
I did play a pepper of the online, so I have a teeny bit to say. Like literally three rounds.
A little pepper.
But
this is kind of something I wanted to compare it to. Did Ubi make a game and then make a sequel to it? Or was that a different studio that I'm thinking of?
Yes, Ubisoft has made a game and then made a sequel to it, like Assassin's Creed.
No, I was thinking like Titanfall.
Yeah, no, that wasn't Ubi. That was Ubi? EA.
Okay, I blew it. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just going to...
It was an alternative.
I'm going to draw a parallel to that, though.
Okay, go ahead. Draw a parallel to Titanfall.
What did you like about Titanfall?
The first or the second one?
The first one.
Nothing, because I barely played it. I liked that you could jump into mechs.
But right, that was cool. Kevin, what did you like about the first one?
In Titanfall?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Don't you dare lie to me, because you wouldn't have picked up the second one.
Killstreaks. I like the smart pistol.
You like the smart pistol.
Yeah.
Okay, so there has to be something to in the game to warrant a sequel.
Are there mechs in For Honor? Or are you saying there should be mechs in For Honor?
I'm saying that they have a good base and they can expand further.
Yeah, I think...
Mechs. So for 5 Honor, they can do a lot of good things.
I get what you're saying. I think you're saying...
Space Honor.
Space fighting.
You're saying that For Honor feels like a really solid base for a game, and while it might not be great, the sequel that will come from it will be.
I can't wait for For Honor to come out so that For Honor 2 can come out.
If they call it For Honor 2, I'm going to probably lose my shit.
Instead of 5 Honor?
I don't know. Instead of For Honor with a subtitle.
What about Moron?
Mm-hmm. Mother.
Yep.
You can have that one.
No. Wait, don't give it.
Did you say More For Honor or For More Honor? Because then it's a whole
other... I just said More Honor because, like...
There you go. That works. More Honor for Xbox.
For More Honor.
For Xbox 2.
So then you can get money.
TM.
No, that's... Air quotes do not.
You can't air quote a copyright, all right? But you can't just air quote a copyright.
I just did that. I just triple stamped a double stamp.
So For Honor, Tyler didn't talk too much about the multiplayer offerings. But
no, I wasn't going to. I just wanted to draw.
All right, real quick, you got a 4v4 Dominion, which is like capture the territories.
We already did that last time, though.
You're okay. Nothing actually changed from the beta to the final product. No new modes. I mean, you got all the new characters.
Yeah, just one new character per faction.
I was talking to a friend of the show. He's actually one of the co-hosts on Shonen Trash Cast, which is an anime show. Check it out, guys. It's great. You can find that on iTunes, I believe, or I don't know. You can find it places.
You can find it.
He'll be on the show sometime.
You can find it, I believe.
Anyways, he was talking about playing the multiplayer, and he was saying he was having kind of a rough time with it. He's trying to get good, and I told him there's 3 steps to this game. Kevin, you look like you want to say something.
It's not part of this point, so continue your...
Okay, there's 3 steps to this game. If you want to get good, step 1, you get the guy that has the shield flip. He takes his thing, his shield, and he hits the person, and then he flips him behind his back. Step 2, find a fucking ledge, because there's so many of them on every map. Step 3, literally stand there, and as soon as somebody gets close enough, you do the shield bash. The thing with the shield flip is that it's a non-blockable attack. So all you do is just flip people off the ledge. If I had a dollar for every time I flipped someone off a ledge in the 3 rounds of multiplayer I played...
You'd have $3.
No, I'd have like $6 because each round is like 3 rounds, or each match is like 3 rounds. All I'm saying is that I killed more people by pushing them off ledges than I did actually doing the For Honor part.
Little known fact.
The combat for honor.
Little known fact, the entire battle of Thermopylae from 300 was just a bunch of people getting pushed off cliffs.
It was a green screen.
I remember the
battle. No, that was a real cliff. Those actors died.
Well, it's cheaper than
actors. Which sucks, because they worked really hard to get that fit.
As we pull,
let me just throw this out there before we move on.
Yeah, throw it.
Please, God, let this not be like another Evolve. Where
it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only difference between this and Evolve is that Ubisoft isn't going to be stupid enough to try and push like $150 worth of DLC.
Well, they might.
No. They're trying to, since Evolve fucking died on the vine, I don't think they'll be that dumb. A lot of people bought For Honor. We'll have to see the numbers. Like, Resident Evil 7 bodied January. It killed
January. Well, I mean, for good reason.
Yeah. Exactly. And February kind of was like, besides, I think it's going to be too late in February for Horizon Zero Dawn to take it. But I don't know. For Honor might be the highest selling game of February just because it was the most anticipated. That's my opinion. But I think it might be like Evolve. Everyone was like, Evolve is crazy good before it came out. And then after it was out, people were like, this shit is just running in circles against one big guy who can kill you instantly.
Evolve was concept without execution.
Evolve was concept without execution. Well said. Well worded. Worded man.
Kevin is a wordsmith.
I'm pretty far back. Let me get closer to this mic. Hey. Guys, we talked about this mainstream crap you plebeians like. Let's talk about other things. Independent games. Games that are independent. They don't need no... Excuse me. What do you have to say to me?
Nothing. I just wanted to do that because that's what you were doing. That was you.
Yeah, I was tipping the fedora.
Heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing.
Laughs in a different language.
Sugoi. I don't know. Yata. That's about all the Japanese I know. I did it. Chime Sharp is a game that's released by Chilled Mouse. It is a puzzle music game.
Drool inducer. This is a drool inducer.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Okay, because I was going to say, I played this game last night, and
Tyler and I were doing our end of day thing that we do, where we try to fit in a few monster hunts before we have to, you know, hit the hay.
Yeah, you guys are hunting the monsters.
And Matt here goes, hey, we got Chime Sharp. You should check it out. And Tyler goes, okay. And he turns it on, and I hear the lovely music of churches and
Chipsil.
Magic Sword. Yeah,
there's
Magic Sword.
Some pretty nice tracks in here.
Pumping through the sound bar, and I just see this, like, pulsing light coming from the TV. Like, it was one
reminds
of those,
me
like,
of Lumines.
You know those old, like, what was that commercial where everybody's in a factory and they're all standing there watching a television? It's like a talking head.
That's the one where they make the macaroni too cheesy and then everybody drowns in the factory. Do you remember that
right.
one?
Right. No, it's the one where the little Cinnamon Toast Crunch guys eat each other in the bowl and then one of them survives and he's the Highlander. Anyway.
What fucking weird commercials are you cutting together?
Really paying attention to that.
In Windows Movie Maker
all right.
At age 10. Sick bastard.
Have you never seen Tyler's... a Cinnamon Toast Crunch commercial? That's what they're like.
Tyler's sitting there and I hear this like pulsing beat and this like light flashing on his face. And he's literally just sitting there slack-jawed. He's just like, all you hear is...
That's the sound of him rotating the blocks.
It's like Tetrasphere meets...
It's Luminous. Basically Luminous. I don't know if you ever played any of the Luminous games. It's where they take fantastic music and you have blocks that you fit together and make combo point things. Except you don't have to deal with multiple colors. You work with trying to make 3x3... or more combinations of blocks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you because the rules don't. The rules just say, "Hey, 3x3."
I figured it out like while sitting there playing. Like the blocks you place don't actually begin to degrade until you break pieces off of them, and then it's like four rounds of the bar crossing the entire screen, and then they'll blow up and they all blow up at once.
Yeah, might be
Luminous, but it's 3x3 or more any direction. So you could be 3x12. Or you could be 4x6. Yeah. You could be... I mean, when you get a perfect... I think they're all called quads, even though it doesn't make sense.
No, but they're called quads.
I mean, a 3x3 is not a quad.
No.
It's made up of quads.
It's a fun little game,
though. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I stayed up till 1 playing it last night.
That's what I was getting at.
It's not a game that's very, doesn't need a lot of explaining.
Nope. You just play it.
No, I mean, I didn't get it, but,
it's okay. I didn't get it for the first 10 minutes. But it's obviously once you get it and you get the idea of it, it's going to be a good time.
I'm about that.
I just tried to fit all the blocks together.
Experience.
That's pretty much what I did.
Oh, okay, cool. I get it then.
Let me go back real quick because we never fucking gave this a score. For Honor from me gets the same score I gave it in my review from a 90skid.com.
Is it 4?
7.25 out of 10. What would we like to give Chime Sharp here? I'm gonna go, due to the fact that they present it kind of like Guitar Hero, there's multiple difficulties and some of the music is good, I'm gonna give it an 8. But that's a very like light, I haven't played a lot, 8. That's just a judgment. So I'm gonna let the final thing fall down to you, Tyler, because you've played most of it.
Kevin, you wanna?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna piggyback off of that and say 8.5 because I love the idea of like the unique music built specifically for the game, or at least used in the game, from relatively famous artists. I think that's really cool, and it's a nice tight puzzle game.
Absolutely, and so. I was especially pleased when I booted it up and I saw all sorts of good music that I actually listened to on there, and I know that's all that obscure stuff, but...
Well, that's the difference. It doesn't have to be mainstream.
Boy, both of you are just pushing your glasses up your nose today, huh?
Shut the front door, Deborah.
Listen, I only drink vintage tap water.
You guys drink Lipton's iced tea. I drink Lipton's. You like when you put ice in it and then it gets more water.
I only drink Nestle Pure Leaf.
I only drink Nestle Nesquik, but I add my own syrup afterwards. It's doubly syrupy. Come to my land of chocolate and sugar.
I give it an 8.5. Okay.
All right, that's a good thing. Speaking of things... Fuck, I can't even transition. Vertical Drop Heroes HD.
So fun!
This is a game that's been out for a while.
Made for, by, and with Tyler.
This is a Tyler game.
Spirit, body, soul,
everything. This is not 100% a Matt game.
This is my heart.
So, what Vertical Drop Heroes HD, which just released on Xbox One, is it's a roguelike game where you're dropping down vertically this path, killing enemies.
So it's not a side scroller. No, it's a top scroller.
It's literally a falling game. Mm-hmm. You fall, you drop you start at the top of the level, and then you try to drop, and then you can unlock things with coins. Tyler, you know this better than I.
Oh yeah,
please take it away.
Okay, so if you've ever played Rogue Legacy,
yeah, there you go.
It's that kind of style where when you die, you have choices of your successor.
Everybody have choices.
Not always.
Oh.
Now, these choices, you're given different spells, given different weapons, given different damages, healths. You can basically get randomized rogue-like characters every single time.
Every single time you die, you get a new guy.
Right.
One of my favorite things about this game was the way, like, it's obviously not a very deep story-based game.
No.
But there's a little blurb right before you start that says that, the problem with Destinies is that everybody thinks that they're the one that is destined.
Yeah.
And
what a problem.
Well, they're saying that this game is the story of all of those people who thought they were destined to be the hero of legend.
Yeah, it's kind of
and
like...
And the one that actually was.
It's kind of, I think, isn't it Enter the Gungeon has that kind of too? I'm trying to think, but one of them isn't just like the idea of like, but besides Rogue Legacy, yeah, it's just like all these people thought that they were going to be the guy.
I love
that. And then nope, everyone dies. I don't know.
It's super charming.
It is. It's very much a game about numbers. Not about numbers, but kind of where you spend your coins. And whether you get the green teleportation crystals. And
you get that. You do that.
Well, no, you do, because that's like a checkpoint that gets you to the level instead of hopping from. There's a lot of things going on in this game. Here's my biggest gripe I had, is that the art kind of looks bad.
It's
a very distinct style, and it's not that the actual quality of it is bad. It's crisp. It looks nice. It's just that it feels mobile.
Yeah. Well, that's because the best way to play it is on your PS Vita.
Okay.
Also,
that makes sense.
I want to mention, like, other aspects of the game were so tight and so good that it made me not worry too much about that.
Yeah, no, it was easy, like, to look past the
conceptually graphics. When you said that it's a numbers game, it kind of reframed the entire game to me and made me realize how smart it is put together. Like, how intelligently designed it is.
Roguelikes are a dime a dozen nowadays.
Right.
It's something that people like to do because it's just an easy way to pad your game without having to add new content.
Right.
So those things kind of live and die by their progression cycles and their carrot dangling and how well and how fleshed out of a system they have. And Vertical Drop Heroes HD, for everything I don't like about its visual style and sometimes the way it plays, it's got some pretty good mechanics in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's got some pretty good mechanics in there. So, Tyler, you played this a long time.
Yeah, I've been playing this for a while.
You feel comfortable giving it a score?
Because
I played literally maybe like three runs that only ended me at the first few levels. So I could do a preliminary score, but it's going to be low just because it's not flashy to me.
Right. I'm a sucker for this kind of game.
Okay.
And Kevin's right. When you look past the art, it's got a lot going on for it.
It's got a lot of heart.
Yeah, and it's made with me in mind, and I love that. But I'm still going to go with an 8.
An 8?
An 8.
10 out of 10. No, I'm just kidding. I was waiting for Tyler to, like, scream this from the mountaintops.
I'm going
to
fire it, or if you're going to go.
No, you go first.
Oh, I'm gonna fire a healthy, like you said, like, it's might not be visually appealing, but I think the price point they're trying to sell it at, which is not very expensive, I remember it's definitely under $10. I know that's under $10.
Oh, I'm going to check that, because that's always super worth it.
Yep. Yeah, if it's under $10, it's definitely worth the buy. But I would say, as far as, like, overall quality when concerned, I'm going to say 7. It's not bad, and it's not like, just a little bit above average. It's decent. It's just not great.
I think it belongs on Vita. I don't know
if the port... Yeah, also could be a thing because I'm playing it on a goddamn console.
Well, I don't know if the port to Xbox was the greatest idea, but at the same time, it does get more of an audience, so I understand why you would do that.
Yeah.
That being said, I think I'd be comfortable giving it an eight too. I think, in a game, eight and a seven. In an industry where a lot of times they choose the wrong things to gloss over, I think they made a good choice, like, putting as much into the gameplay as they did.
I just want to point a few things out here. Vertical Drop Heroes is available on Xbox for $7.99. That is a great
price. Yeah, it's a really good one. That's a good dollar.
Something that you guys didn't know, or you probably did, but we did not touch on, there is a split-screen multiplayer.
Ooh.
Okay. That's a good thing.
It might be a game changer.
This is a pretty good couch co-op game.
That's the thing you're going to want to do.
Lastly, it's got a 9 on Steam.
Well, Steam is pretty good. Like I'm saying, guys, wow. I mean, it's a good time. It's just a game for certain people. I don't think that game is for me particularly, but I could see a good game.
I could have fun with it, but I wouldn't pick it over other games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather play Rogue Legacy because I've yet to finish that.
I disagree. I would rather play Vertical because I've beaten Rogue Legacy.
Well, there you go. That's the whole thing.
Well.
So I think, guys, now is a pretty good time to just announce that we at Space Brain Gaming, the Twitch streaming group that I work with, Kevin, you've been on a few. Tyler is yet to be on some, but he will be coming soon, probably when we do our E3 coverage. I feel like we'll be there.
Oops.
That's fine, man. Don't worry about making a little noise. It's all right. I kind of forgot what the hell I was talking about. Oh, now is a good time to announce that we will be doing a Switch event Friday, the day that the Nintendo Switch releases. We will hopefully, as long as Amazon doesn't fuck us up, have one at the studio, which will therefore mean we will be streaming. I'm a writer by trade. Isn't that a joke?
The funniest.
We will therefore be playing Zelda, Breath of the Wild, pretty much all the time.
Is there an H in there?
We will... Wild... In my version, there is. We will be checking out the 1-2 Switch, potentially getting Super Bomberman R. I really want to do that whole sandwich crunching game. But we will be doing that. That's March 3rd, starting whenever kind of we get the package. I know that Cal has got to do some work stuff, so maybe it'll be a little bit later towards the eve. I'm looking forward to playing it because my little brother Dan's got one up at the GameStop. I'm going to play it with him that night. It's going to be a good time. I'm really looking for what are you guys looking forward to the most? I think it's kind of obvious out of like 3 or 4 launch games. You're not like taking World of Glue. You're about that Zelda, right?
Oh hell yeah,
that Zelda.
Snipperclips too.
Snipperclippers isn't a launch one though.
I don't care.
It's okay. It's gonna be great. With that being said, I think now is a good time to jump to our interview that we had with the lovely Ben Stevens 56. Maybe he can be like a resident Zelda expert, you know, like he's the guy. I got the tattoo, but I mean, this guy's the one who can beat it in like an hour and a half. So I'm going to say he's better at Zelda, probably knows more about these games. So we'll jump to him we'll do some Zelda talk real quick. And then we'll meet you guys back here on the other end of the show. All right. So let's hop to that interview real quick. Hey guys, thanks for enjoying that little transition. We're here with Ben Stevens 56. That's what he's known as in the speedrunning community. You might have seen him at AGDQ 2017 running The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the 3DS. You could call him the man, the myth, the legend of Zelda, Ben Stevens. Ben, what's up, dude?
I wouldn't go that far, but
you're not a man, a myth, or a legend, or are you just the man in the myth?
I'm just the myth and the legend. I'm not a man.
Oh, yeah. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, just pick two of the three.
So, Ben, you speed ran shit at AGDQ, and that's actually how we came to get in touch.
Oh, yeah.
I had the pleasure of covering that event for NintendoStar.com, and I saw a Zelda speed run. I have a tattoo, the Ocarina and like the little fucking Spirit Stones. I can't even talk, but I have the Spirit Stones and all that shit tattooed my foot, so I was like, damn, I gotta get some of that Ocarina time. And lo and behold, it was a 3DS version, which fucking blew my mind, because I've rarely ever seen that ran, and you pulled off some crazy shit. But before we talk about the run itself, how was AGDQ? Because I started watching, and I don't know if you're the same, but I watched this like a long time ago, when it was just people in someone's basement, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And it's changed.
It's changed a lot, yeah. I mean, there's so much controversy. There's a bunch of like little bitches who are like, oh my god, like whatever, dude. Like, I don't even know. Like, people get so upset. They're like, oh my god, speedrunning is.
There's been a lot of shit that comes out of that. Like, mm-hmm. Well, this person got banned and they're going more towards mainstream and forgetting their main audience and all that shit. And you know, that's you get that kind of with every major event. But I feel like a lot of the times when you read stuff about AGDQ, you're either reading about stuff that the people who run it put it out there, or people like me who are just watching it, kind of, you know, what they saw. I don't see a lot of stuff from the runners themselves. As a runner, I mean, how does it all work out? Is it you just like kind of have your time slot pop on? Or, I mean, I guess in general, what is it like at AGDQ or any GDQ in that matter, being a runner? Is it stressful? Is it more fun? Like, what do they require of you? You said you're not allowed to swear, but like, I guess how restricted are you from a normal like Twitch stream or something like that?
It's definitely a lot different when you go up there. You're appealing to a different audience. You know, there's 200,000 people watching you, and I'd probably say a quarter of them are just looking for something to get at you with. They're just looking for something that you do that's totally stupid. So you gotta be careful. Not even for, you know, the rules of the event, but also just for your own, you know.
Well, I get what you're saying. Back in the day, speedrunning was a very small kind of subsect of a group. It wasn't as huge as it was now, and I think due to AGDQ and events like it, it's kind of gotten super popular. And I got to give you props, man, because you fucked up once or twice, but the improvisation, unless that was all scripted and I was just fooled,
hell like, no.
You fucking fixed quite a few problems in that run that I was super amped about.
I had like, all right, so when I went to bed the night before, I was like, all right, Ben, there's one thing tomorrow, if you do it, like, it's gonna be bad, and that is the mistake I made. And I was like, you probably didn't see it, but me and like two of the other people on the couch were just sweating bullets. We're like, what am I gonna do?
Is this okay? Let's pull into the actual run itself. So you did a 3DS. I knew it as MST, but you guys had it as all dungeons.
Mm-hmm. They're a little different. I mean, all dungeons is something that evolved out of MST maybe three, four years ago.
So basically the run, it's Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, but it's not 100%, and it's not like the standard run you'd see for, I guess, for speed, people who don't know what speed running is, essentially you're getting from the beginning of when you have control to the credit sequence or the mark at the end of the game as fast as possible without using any outside code. So you can cheat within the game.
Yeah.
You just can't cheat outside of it. And that's what impressed me about the 3DS one the most, is that there's so much random shit that you don't see in the N64 one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of difference. And the community definitely isn't as big, like not even close to being as big as the N64 one, because there's so much fucking support for that game. That shit, there's so many amazing dedicated people, so it's definitely a more niche group of people, but we do some really good shit, and you know, over the years we've definitely found some damn cool stuff, and I mean, you got to see some of that in the run, some of the stuff like the one trick everyone loved, the title screen shit, that was like,
yeah,
that had been found like literally 2 months before by probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. He is like genius. That guy is crazy. So I mean,
what's that dude's name? If you don't mind shouting him out,
he's the Wayfaring Fox. He didn't stream too much on Twitch, but he's just like, damn,
the Wayfaring Fox.
That guy knows his shit.
I was meaning to ask you about that too, is because you have a game that's the 3DS one, and as you said in your run, it's completely different.
Oh, it's completely different
from a coding standpoint. So I was wondering, did you guys have to redo all of the work that like Sock Folder did in your own way, or did you guys just kind of like adapt some of the shit that was from the N64, some of the tricks and skips, and just make it work in the 3DS, or are you guys working like from the ground up?
So, you know, you can probably throw those into three categories. Probably, you know, a third of the stuff we take and we just, you know, it just works exactly the same.
Yeah.
We use it as is. It's the same shit, you know. And then probably another third of the stuff is very similar. We take it, we tweak it, you know, to suit our needs. And,
yeah.
And then we get it. And then probably like another third is just completely, we have to rework it from the ground up, figure stuff out. Like, so it's a mix. And I think that's what makes it so cool. It's like working with the game, there's a mix of so much other shit. It's like, it's doing research and it's trying to be creative with something that's already been established to make it your own.
I guess that's a big thing, is because when somebody sees a speedrun and they might not be familiar with the community, they might think, oh, this person just really knows. They've played this game 100 times, 200 times. And while that might be true, I think a lot of it does come down to, you know, knowing the game's intricacies and also doing research into the game's code if need be and stuff like that. So I guess my question to you is, how much of the Ocarina of Time 3DS speedrun was research and developing the skips versus how much of it was actual precision and skill? I guess from your point of view, just from you personally, how much of that run consisted of needing to know and look into how to do shit versus actually executing it?
I think just because of how much I fucking play this game, because that's what I do. I just sit in my goddamn room and play video games all day. I mean, not actually, but you know.
Yeah, I get it.
I think probably when I first started, it would have leaned more towards research. But as you learn more, there kind of becomes less and less to research. You kind of, I don't think there's ever not something to research, but like a lot of the really big stuff kind of, you start to water the knowledge that you don't know down, and it becomes more about execution. But I think learning any speedrun, just like hopping into it, I think a lot of newer runners fail to do a lot of the research that's necessary to like really understand what they're doing. Cause I really think speedrunning is like 50% really understanding what you're doing. Like, especially if you fuck up, to know what to do when you fuck up, to be like,
well, that's a great point. Cause if you understand how to do a trick and you fuck it up, but you don't know why that trick works, you might not have any other workaround, which is exactly why your run worked so well, is because you had such a good understanding of the game as it is and how it works behind the scenes, one could say, that sure, you missed a pretty important trick, and or you forgot to do something, and you were able to fix that without interrupting. I mean, what, maybe that added how many minutes onto your time? Not too much.
It added like 10 minutes, dude. That run was actually really damn good. Besides my routing error, it was a big time loss.
It was a great time. And if you guys haven't seen it at home listening, definitely check it out. You can find it on your channel, right, Ben? You have your own YouTube channel. I think you upped it yourself.
Yeah.
What's your YouTube channel and your Twitter handle, I guess?
All right. My YouTube channel is a really creative name here. It's Ben Stevens 1000. the really, best one. Really good, dude. People who put, I made that account years ago, dude.
They're like, holy shit, this guy's a wordsmith.
Yeah. So that was, that's my YouTube channel. My Twitter handle is BenStevens56, because I just love putting random ass numbers at the end of my like name, you know.
And while we're here, I guess where can they find you to Twitch stream if they want to catch up on your WR grinding shit or whatever you're doing at any given moment? Where can they find you on Twitch?
My Twitch handle is same as my Twitter, BenStevens56. And if you want to find me on anything else, it's usually under that handle. I don't use 1000. I don't even know why my YouTube handle is that.
Well, hey, so, man, it is what it is. I don't know why half the shit I do is why it is, but hey, it's a thing. So if you guys want to check out that run in specific, that is also in the GDQ archive. If you just type in, if you go to Google or YouTube and type in AGDQ17 Ben Stevens or Ocarina, you'll find it.
Or Zelda.
Or yeah. Zelda. Yeah. Some sort of key. You guys are adults. You can fucking figure out things on the internet. Besides Ocarina of Time, I've seen you do Majora's speedruns, if I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay. I do a little bit of Majora.
Besides Majora and Ocarina, I guess this is maybe an unfair question, but what is, if you had to pick one, if you're on a desert island, Ben, imagine yourself on an island completely surrounded by water, ooh, and there's just one outlet. And you can put a video game system in there. You got a TV as well. You can't forget that. But you only got one game, and it's got to be a Zelda game. What game is it? Go.
Okay, so is this like, this is the whole package right here. This is like what game I like the most, the replay value. Like,
what's you're on this okay. island, and you might get saved in 2 days, or you might get saved in 2 years. You have no clue. You have a walkie-talkie next to you that actually keeps on like spritzing out, and you might hear names on you can hear people like voices somewhere else.
You're like French people somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh shit, are they gonna help me? Or I don't know. Meanwhile, you have a Zelda game to play. What Zelda game is it?
Oh my god. All right, I just gotta think through this real quick. All right, I am gonna say A Link Between Worlds. That's okay. I think.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm there with you. Ocarina is like my all-time like go-to. And yeah, you must share that sentiment in some, because shit, it takes a lot of playing Ocarina and Majora to speedrun them.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'd say besides the N64 ones, like it's either Link to the Past or Link Between Worlds. I picked up Link Between Worlds and I was stunned by how good that game was in the year it came out. Like it was fantastic. There's so much good shit about that game. What was your favorite part about Link Between Worlds? Was it like the dungeon order that you could do whatever? I liked the little rental of items, but that's just me.
I think they took something that was seemed so un-Zelda and like a bunch of different aspects, and they put them together, and it just, every single aspect worked together so goddamn well. Like the item rental and the dungeon order was really good. But I think really the thing, like mechanically, that was so good is just the variety in how each dungeon was laid out was really good. Like there was,
it feels like each dungeon has its own kind of thing instead of just like, oh, here's another dungeon. Like there's a definite game mechanic for each dungeon, each challenge.
And it felt really good. I agree with you. Like I especially like, cause I speedrun that a little bit too from time to time. And like, every dungeon is so much fun. There isn't a single dungeon where I'm like, oh man, this is like the boring part. Like every single one is so good.
And I'm really glad that you brought that up, dungeons and how they can be good or bad, because here's a nice segment that I would like to have between me, host of a somewhat mediocre podcast, and Ben Stevens, the destructor of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. It's a segment I like to call, what's your favorite Ocarina of Time dungeon and why you're wrong? So I'm going to start.
Gee, what do we talk about in this segment? No, please explain.
First off, I just want to, all speedrunning and all everything aside, just from like a style standpoint and just like as an appreciative kind of thing.
Okay.
My favorite, this is disregarding, because look, if we were going to say like, what's the most annoying dungeon? First, I would say Jabu Jabu, but then I know, know from a speedrunner standpoint, it's Deku Tree. Like that shit.
No, it's Jabu.
Is it Jabu? Fuck it's, yes.
Hell yes, it's Jabu.
I'm
Jabu
so validated fucking right now.
Maybe if I played, okay, so like probably the best N64 player would also say Jabu as well.
Yeah.
And I'd say, yeah, probably, I guess if you were the kind of guy who just grinded any percent, which any percent, by the way, is on N64 for anyone who doesn't know, it's beat the game as fast as possible. No restrictions. It's like 17 minutes long on N64. Yeah. It's crazy. Go check it out if you don't know what it is. But pretty much the only thing that run is Deku Tree. And so if
that's essentially kind of, it. And then you skip everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. So if you were the kind of person who ran that all the time, the answer would probably be Deku Tree. But if you're anyone else who speedruns Zelda, the answer is probably Jabu.
So in this great segment called Your Favorite Ocarina of Time Dungeon, we've talked about what the shittiest one is. So let's get... I'm glad we agreed on that. So,
I am too.
My favorite Ocarina dungeon, I'm not going to include Child Dungeons because mine would actually be Deku Tree. And that's purely because I just played that first part over and over as a child because I was shit at the game. I'm going to go out on a whim and I'm going to say Forest Temple, not because I know it's my favorite, because I think it is. Like, I just replayed Ocarina and going in, I was like, fuck yeah, the Forest Temple's dope. And once I was done with it, I was like, fuck, the Forest Temple is not as dope as I thought. close second is Shadow Temple, and that's only because I like the horror aspect. But when it comes down to the whole forest, fire, water kind of thing, I'm very much a greenery kind of guy. So I'm gonna go Forest Temple. What say you, Ben Stevens?
I'm gonna give the unpopular opinion.
If you say Water Temple, I'm ending the call.
I'm sorry. I think it's Water Temple, dude.
This guy's crazy. You heard it here first. The guy who plays this game more than anybody or anybody who's listening will ever play this game is saying the Water Temple is good. You're all wrong. I'm taking it as fact. You're right. The Water Temple is the best.
I think the first three adult dungeons are all really good. I think water, forest, and fire are like really, really good dungeons.
They're really good at teaching you shit, is what I think.
In that order, I would say the best though are Water Temple, Forest Temple, and Fire Temple. Yeah. And the reason I like Water Temple so much is because I never got lost even when I was a kid. I figured it out. Maybe I got lucky. Well, I probably got lucky.
When I went back through it, when I was playing and I was streaming it just in December, I was coming up to the Water Temple going like, oh shit, this is going to take so long because I'm trash and I'm not going to remember anything. I didn't get stuck until like the very, very end, and that was my fault for missing a super obvious key. But maybe just the disdain from the Water Temple comes from everybody playing that when they're like 8 and a half and like hopped up on fucking Kool-Aid jammers and don't know what the fuck's going on.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. I really don't know why that dungeon has such a bad rep, but
I think it's purely just because people get lost.
Probably, yeah. But like, as far as complexity and depth, that is the hands down, like the most well put together dungeon in the game.
I also like to say that for Spirit Temple, because it's the only temple that forces you to go back as a child if you're playing it intended, which I think adds the only extra complexity than the Water Temple has. Besides, like the Lens of Truth is kind of cool, but being forced to do all the water changing, and then like later in the Spirit Temple, being forced to go back and change back into a kid to do half of the dungeon, I think those are things that don't pop up in other dungeons. Like, it's very much like, go here, do the thing, you win.
Yeah, I kind of wish they had added more stuff like that, honestly.
Yeah, me too. And I think they took it to the nth degree in Majora and then went, oops. Like, they tried to make it super different, and that's why it's the black sheep of the family. But as we wrap this up, I have a few questions left I want to ask you. When it comes to the Ocarina, you talked earlier about things like the title screen switch and the title screen trick. I can't fucking talk. I'm terrible at this shit. The title screen trick. There's the boss rush thing that you did. What's your favorite trick out of all of them? What's the coolest one, do you think? Or what feels the best to pull off? Not just visually, but what's your favorite trick that you can do? I mean, you use a lot of like Hesses and bomb jumps and shit consistently throughout the run, and there's a few that are peppered in there that are unique. But I don't know, without using the controller myself, I'm sure some of those tricks feel way better than the ones that look flashy. So when it comes to you, what's the trick that you either feel most comfortable with, or you're like actually like, ooh, this is fun to do, versus like, oh god, not this thing I could fuck up.
That is a there's so much shit in this game that I have to think about. Like, I'm trying to think here.
There's a lot of complexities in there. If you want to wrap that in, make it a little easier for you. I also wanted to ask you what the hardest part of speedrunning that game is. So if you maybe just want to take like all of them together and just think of a trick that's fucking hard as shit, but also feels satisfying, I think that would suffice for our listening audience.
Well, let's see here. I think the hardest thing running it is there's a lot of depth to it. There's like a lot to know.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot that you have to remember.
It's not even so much a lot to remember. And N64 is even more so a culprit of this. There are setups upon setups where it's like, and it's like you have to remember. I mean, it is partly. I think N64 is more about remembering, but I think OT, Ocarina of Time in general, is there's a hell of a lot of concepts that you need to be able to generally understand to an extent, like a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably the most difficult part. I don't really think execution is necessarily the hardest thing, because I think Ocarina of Time is such a fucking cool game because it feels, even if you're bad, it feels really intuitive to play. Like the controls just feel so responsive. I don't know what it is. Like,
no, the game's tight, and that's why I think a lot of it probably comes down to muscle memory, because once you get down once, you're pretty good. But like you said, I think Ocarina of Time speedrunning is kind of like math, where it's like, okay, so you learned movement and you learned camera setups. There's your basic addition of subtraction. It's once you get into that algebraic bullshit, like, okay, I need to know I'm looking at this specific way, I gotta jump this, that, to get you in the proper position, let alone to execute the trick. I think, like you're saying there, a lot of the complexities and stuff is probably the biggest bitch of the whole entire run.
Yeah, there's just a hell of a lot to know. And I think, so there's this thing we do in speedrunning, especially in Ocarina of Time. It's called, it's bingo, basically. Do you know what that is?
Never heard of this. Please regale me.
Okay. So basically we have these 5x5 grids. And each grid or each box in the grid is filled with a goal. Okay. And the point of bingo.
Oh, okay.
The point of, and there's algorithms to how these rows are generated and stuff. It's like they're balanced, and I don't know. This is like version 9 of bingo. So it's, you know, we rework it every couple months, but essentially this is pick a row or a column with random goals and finish the goals as fast as you possibly can. Usually we race this. It's like a bunch of people, you know, we'll start at the same time and we'll see. So it's not just about execution. It's about
knowing
who can find the best row, who can find how to do that row the best, and who can execute it all at the same time. And it's crazy because you start the game and you're watching that long intro cutscene, but the intro cutscene feels so fucking short because you're like, I have no clue what the fuck I'm gonna do.
You have to. It's almost like the speedrunning community has just created their own game out of speedrunning.
Oh yeah, Zelda. Absolutely.
It's like a game within a game within a game. You guys are fucking Zelda-ceptioning times two over there.
I have been playing Ocarina of Time in a speedrun setting for almost 5 years now, and I don't see the end to the replay value. I don't see it. It's nowhere in sight because things keep growing, and there's still so much I don't know. Like it's immense, the amount of information, the amount of different ways that you can do it. It's just crazy.
There's so many possibilities within the game itself. It sounds like something that's fun, but I don't think it would be a great place for a newcomer to start. But then again, that's just me, and I don't even fucking speedrun the game. So if you had a potential speedrunner, and I'm sure you get this question all the time, what would you direct them towards? Like, what's a game you can think of that's like, oh, that one's not terribly difficult? It doesn't have to be a Zelda game, but I guess what's the first game that you learned to run? Was it Ocarina or was it something else?
This was the first game I ever ran, and that's actually a really interesting question because there's a lot of debate about, you know, the growth of speedrunning in the past week, because there's been this guy who's been making videos about like how to grow speedrunning, and there's a lot of people who disagree with what he has to say.
What does this guy have to say? And let's see if I agree.
His stance is, there needs to be people making like YouTube videos about this stuff, like creating content. People need to have better production values with like how they make videos and stuff.
I don't want to burn any bridges here, but yeah. I'm going to say not with you, but I'm just going to say that's not. Oh, look, we do YouTube production along with our streaming and all that shit. And yeah, there is a reason you'd have high production, but I think a lot of the fun that comes from speedrunning is watching things that you'll never see and you'll never have a clue how they're pulled off. It's just that you can do that. And I think if you increase the volume of tutorials and shit like that and how-tos, it kind of pulls... how do I word this? It's almost like if the speedrunner is the magician, I don't want 40 YouTube videos on how they do the tricks. I feel like it should be a thing that you do because you like to do it and you create a community. I don't think you guys are performers unless you're put in an AGDQ kind of aspect. I think speedrunning is a thing that's very intimate and something you do for fun. And I think trying to job that or work that out and feed it to the internet in some sort of spoon-fed kind of way is kind of trashy, in my opinion. And that's kind of how I feel like it's been, but maybe that's just me. I don't know where you sit on it, and that's why I wanted to say it before you said anything.
That is honestly, out of anyone, the best explanation I have heard this entire week. That is honestly like...
That's why they pay me the big bucks. No, they don't pay me shit.
You hit the nail completely on the head. That is totally how I feel, and absolutely something I could not put into words for the past week. But no. I could not agree with you more. I feel like it's something very intimate, and if it's something you love, if it's something you really love, and it's something that I really love, it's something that you're going to figure out, whether there's a YouTube tutorial or whether it's you talking to guys or whether it's you fucking figuring it out yourself and just not communicating with anyone, which is, you know, to each his own. My opinion on the topic is there is no right way to do a speed run, to learn a speed run, anything of that sort.
Yeah.
Except for you need to have fun. You gotta love it.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is because if you start that kind of trend of, hey, let's throw all these tutorials up and all this stuff, then over the course of a few years, all of a sudden you'll start seeing runners that you've never heard of who just did it by themselves, you know, and that's fine too. But I think one of the best parts of speedrunning is coming together as a community to figure it out. And you might lose a part of that if you just make it all tutorialized, because then you have somebody who just has everything in front of them. All they need is the mechanical ability to do it. And then, yeah, it's kind of a hollow experience. Like, oh, you can speedrun Zelda, but do you even like the game? At that point, I think it could become like sort of a checklist kind of thing. And I don't like seeing runners that are just like, look at how good I am. I like seeing runners who obviously enjoy the game. And that's the reason they want to beat it so well, is because they love the game and they want to experience the game in a different way, not just because somebody on YouTube has a certain time and they feel like they're cooler, so they need to beat it. But that's how I sit on it. And I'm glad that you agree, because hey, that's how speedrunning should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm really glad you asked about that, because your opinion on that was, I think, just so really, honestly, even changed the way I form my opinion on that, because I think that was such a goddamn good explanation about
Spread
that.
Spread the word. SGC64 is the official speedrunning podcast.
Apparently. Goddamn. And that's honestly, that's how most of the runners in the community feel, from what I've gathered.
Zelda's also a very, very intimate and very personal series. I guess if it was a brand new game like For Honor and that community wanted, whatever, you know, do whatever you guess what you want and what your community, but I don't think that Zelda or Mario speedruns or any of these long running franchises should be so cut and paste, because hell, everyone can go play Mario 64. Not everyone can speedrun it. And I don't think everyone should be able to, because it's something that requires dedication. But exactly. Hopping off of this as we wrap up, because we're about to hit the 30-minute mark, I just want to know, Breath of the Wild, because the Breath of the Wild, for me, I'm a little nervous, because the things I like about Zelda are not its linearity, but its theming, you know, the fire, forest, water, right. Like that kind of thing. That's why I like Ocarina. Majora, I'm not a huge, huge, huge fan of, just because I fuck up all the time and I get lost, but an open world Zelda that is, people are saying it rivals Skyrim and Oblivion. And I'm like, look, dude, Zelda is in Oblivion. I don't know if I need 45 different caves and stuff. So I'm wondering, how do you feel about Breath of the Wild? Are you excited that they're kind of pulling an open world, or what's your opinion on this game in general? What if Zelda was a girl?
Oh my god.
Sausage Zeldas. Oh my god.
The green one, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. What if Darunia was a goddess?
Oh my god. All right, so
Breath of the Wild, bring it back.
I'm skeptical about the execution of what they're about to do, because from my opinion, what Zelda is really, or what Nintendo is really good at doing is making a level for people to run through. So like a Zelda dungeon, or, you know,
even
a straightforward course on a Mario level. They're really good at taking you through a set path and just, you know, herding you through and making it intuitive, making it really fucking fun. And
they're good at crafting an experience.
Yeah, they're great at crafting an experience. And sometimes crafting an experience, the best way to do it, I think, is not to give the player all these options and be like, wow, you can do all these things. You know, it's Nintendo and it's Zelda, and I love Zelda, and I trust Nintendo a hell of a lot more than I should. So I'm skeptical.
True story.
I'm skeptical, but I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I sit too, and it's pretty much how the rest of the dudes at the show, how they sit as well. It's kind of like, you know what? If they fuck it up, that's on Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, that's on them. They have made so many games. They have a somewhat winning formula. When they decide to deviate from it, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But for them to take such a big risk with one of their biggest franchises, considering they have no other big franchises to back up their launch, hopefully it'll pay off. But I think having healthy skepticism, especially if you're a fan of the N64 ones, is a smart way to go about it. I mean, we're going to see that in, what, 10 days? However many days, 9 days.
How far
I can't
away is it?
It's the third, the fourth.
Yeah,
so,
dude, it's 10 days away. Holy shit.
At this point, it's 10 days. What, when you guys are hearing this, it might be only like 4 or 5, but it's coming quick. All right, Ben, we've had you on the show here for quite a bit. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Here's something we like to do at the show. Not every show, but sometimes. So Zelda. Would you say that Zelda is your favorite game series?
Okay,
because we could always switch it up. If you have another game series or another game in particular that you herald as your favorite, I think that would work better. But for fun, let's just go with Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Tell me in your own words, in 10 words or less, what is... Well, actually, no. Do it in 10 words exactly.
10 words. All right, let me get my notepad. Here we go.
Yeah, or put up your fingers and maybe do a little bit. That's what we do in the studio. Just handheld counting. What is the Zelda Legend of Ocarina? What is the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in 10 words, Ben Steven?
All right. Am I allowed to...
As much time as you need.
Okay, all right. I don't want people to wait too long here, but let's see. We got...
It'll be edited.
Oh, boy. The magic of editing. Not giving the people the truth.
Whatever it means to you, man. It doesn't have to be explanatory. It can just be the essence. You know what? You don't have to do an exactly 10. Just go for it.
All right. Green Zelda boy goes fast, kills the big pig man. There we go.
Did you say kills the big cake man?
No, pig, like
pig man. I was gonna say
cake
yeah,
man.
No. All right, that was good. That was actually pretty succinct. I'm glad that worked out. Well, Ben, okay, my Skype is literally crashing.
Okay,
it's looking great. I think it's about time we wrap this up. We had a good 35 or so minutes of chatting here with Ben Stevens, 56. I'm just going to refer to you that in like normal day-to-day talk. I'll be like, yeah, I interviewed Ben Stevens, 56. And they'll be like, the 56th? And I'm like, oh, fucking yeah, man, the one.
The only. Forget about the 55 others.
The myth and the legend, but he ain't no man. Ben Stevens. Is there anything you want to plug, man? Anything you're working towards? You got any runs or anything that you want to pop on here before we take off?
I mean, I'm always on Twitch, and you probably don't want to read what I hear on Twitter, but you know, if you want to find me, you know, just Google me, man, and you'll find me. But
just Google Ben Stevens and see what happens. Like, just
actually, I did that the other day. I don't think that'll be very useful for you.
Well, hey, you know what? Maybe that's a perfect. It's a perfect disguise. Maybe that's what it is. All right, well, we'll catch up with you later. I'll probably try to have you back on after we've had some time with Breath of the Wild, and you've had some time with it. Get your opinion on that. But for now, man, it was a great time. So I'm gonna bid you adieu.
All right.
And it was great having you on the show, man. Thanks a ton.
Yeah, no problem. It was hella fun, dude. You know it. Hit me up anytime.
And this is Ben Stevens, the Zelda Ocarina of Time speedrunner who was featured on AGDQ 2017. Thanks a ton, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
It's always nice.
That's good.
It's always nice to have some real live people.
It's rare.
It's very rare. In fact, it was our first one we've done. More on the way. More on the way. It's good to be clear and concise.
Hey, Matt.
Next week, we interview Tyler's dad.
No. Next week, we interview Phil Spencer and ask him why he wore Battletoad shirts for 4 years. He did. Phil Spencer was always come out of GDC like, look at this fucking this Battletoad shirt I got on. You guys want Battletoads? You guys want Battletoads? I was like, yeah, Phil. Yeah, Phil, give it to me. And he's like, we got this game called Rare Replay, Battletoads.
You think it's maybe like the whole Daniel Radcliffe thing where for like 2.5 years he wore the same outfit when he would go into public, so then the paparazzi would be like, God damn it, Daniel. You're wearing the same thing again. We can't take any interesting pictures of you and your dogs.
Damn, Daniel, back at it again with those red and gold robes. Nice scarf, bud. Why don't you take your ass back to Gryffindor where you belong? You know he doesn't
wear that in public, right?
I would.
Wait, Daniel Radcliffe isn't Harry Potter's alias?
Harry Potter's what?
Hold on.
Are you okay?
You're about to tell me that Daniel Radcliffe is not just the muggle name that Harry Potter uses, right? Like, you guys know that, right?
Hey, Matt.
What's up?
Can you tell me, last episode, you told me something about,
I don't know.
Rare. You were going to do a lot of Rare stuff. Did you do anything Rare this time around?
For the streams?
Yeah.
Stuff? Yeah, playing Conker Saturday.
Still playing Conkers?
We're on part 3 of Conker. We did the Cro-Magnon place with the club and all that stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah, we did that, and then now we're going to be moving on to whatever is, I don't really remember, honestly, whatever is after that. I think it's the World War II part?
That sounds right.
That's Conker. So Conker, that's going to be doing, that's, we're coming up that on Saturday. Saturday, what day is that? Let me look at my calendar here real quick, because we're recording on a weird day. Saturday the 25th, whether or not this comes out before that or after that, it's actually going to have to come out after that, because there's embargoes on the shit we're talking about. We cannot, it'll be there. You can go to our YouTube or the Twitch and you can watch it back. I don't think we're going to finish Conker that day, but we're also going to be doing some Banjo-Kazooie. We did our first part of Banjo-Kazooie. We got through the Treasure Trove Cove, the Mumbo's Mountain, the Bubble Gloop Swamp. We're going to go on to Gobi Gobi Desert and Clanker's Cavern as we go forward. Friday, I think the day before Conker, potentially having some musical guests on to do a cool stream with Audio Surf. You'll see. Potentially could be a thing.
Audio Surf is so fun.
Yeah, we're gonna have some people on, and it'll be a good old fashioned time. We're also trying to do some Resident Evil 5 at some point, maybe some Halo Wars. Obviously, Horizon Zero Dawn, we'll be streaming that. We'll be talking about that here. More indies, as always, as devs send them to us. Once again, we want to thank all the devs that devs, publishers, and PR agencies that sent us copies of these games so we could talk about them. That's pretty much all I had. For you guys.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any parting words they want to say? Any television shows or movies or anything like that you guys have seen in the past days?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I'm watching a couple things, actually.
Yeah, sure. Fire it off. I watched quite a few things.
I'm watching Steven Universe.
Okay.
Santa Clarita Diet, which is pretty funny.
Yes, I reviewed that.
Did you really?
Yes.
It's a really funny show. Like, I was very surprised.
I ended up giving it an 8.75 or an 8.25 or something like that, maybe just an 8.5. It was in the 8 range, but yeah, that's something that I watched when it first came out. Are you liking it?
Yeah, no, I'm liking it so far. It's like it's it's this weird juxtaposition of like intense gore and really awkward humor.
Yeah, that was the thing, as I said, is that it's if you can handle the gore, because there is a few scenes in that,
dude, they,
that made even me cringe.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You're not there yet. Unless you're at like episode 8 or 9.
No.
There's one that just made me like, oh, like really? That's not cool. I'm kind of fucking crazy. Like in real life, I'm not like actually gonna kill you.
You play one on TV.
What?
You don't just play one on TV?
No. Or on the radio. I like to keep a list of all the shit that I have watched.
Oh, okay.
Also games that I have beaten, but that's more for Game of the Year stuff when it comes around. But let's see, some good stuff that I have watched recently. Besides Santa Clarita Diet, John Wick Chapter 2.
Haven't seen John
Caught McCoy that. It was pretty good. Not as good as the first, but hey, you know what? I did. Netflix had that American Crime Story, People versus O.J. Simpson, that just came on.
Oh, I heard that's fantastic.
It is excellent, guys. I watched it in 2 days.
Incredibly good.
You definitely got to check that out. Additionally, and here I'm gonna kind of pull the audience. Have any of you guys seen Michael Bolton's Big Sexy Valentine's Day Special?
No.
Have any of you guys ever seen Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping?
No.
Okay, so Michael Bolton's Big Sexy Valentine's Day Special is something that came out on Netflix for Valentine's Day, and people are like, what the fuck is this? It's literally like a Michael Bolton special. I don't know. This is weird. And then I was like, why is this shit getting 5 stars? And then I watched a trailer and realized that it's Comedy Bang Bang and The Lonely Island. And the actual thing about it is that Santa Claus's elves have made too many presents. So in order to fix it, in February, Michael Bolton, the sexiest man alive, apparently, has to force the American populace, or the world populace, to make 75,000 new babies. And the only way they can do that is by having a Big Sexy Valentine's Day Special. It is like the Eric Andre Show.
Oh, I love the Eric Andre Show.
But centralized around
that plot.
I mean, Eric Andre is on the show, and there is many instances of like the Eric Andre show where humor just goes on for about 10 seconds too long. Yep. And gets really cringy,
and then it gets really funny again.
Yeah
just keep
that one's
it.
Good. And then besides that, I just wanted to say I watched Moana. That was good. And I went down a rabbit hole and watched David Blaine's Real or Magic, and let me tell you guys, at this point I don't know if that man's really a person.
Speaking of magic, I'm really excited for this film that's coming up soon.
Now You See Me 3.
No.
You used to see me and now you don't. What went wrong?
There's a movie coming out. It was shot in 17 days with a really low budget, and it's called Slight. And it's the story of this kid who uses magic tricks to... He's trying to make a better life for his sister.
Yeah.
So he gets involved in a lot of illegal things.
Yeah.
But uses magic tricks and what they call weird body modifications to get himself out of weird situations.
Let me guess. This character is played by the real person Daniel Radcliffe. Right.
No.
Right. Is
no.
That, it's the magician on TV. Right.
Yeah. Of course, it's Lev Grossman, the magician. Anyway.
Oh, that's
no. Weird. It's a real underground thing. Like I don't know. I don't know Whoa. What sort of acclaim it's getting.
Here's my glasses.
Slight looks fantastic. Check out the trailer. Logan is getting crazy good reviews. I really want to see
that. Yeah, I can't wait for Logan. It's going to be great.
Power
Rangers is a thing that's coming out.
Yep.
King Kong is a thing that's coming out. Guys, keep up on it.
A lot of cool stuff coming out.
Thanks for asking, guys. I watched Moana.
Did you?
Yeah, that's about it.
How cute was that Moana baby?
It's a great movie.
And the visuals in that shit with the
Jermaine Clement was amazing in it. He sounded like David Bowie in that movie.
I don't want to spoil anything, but the giant crab.
That's
Jermaine Clement. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was that part visually. Oh
yeah,
man, that threw me through a loop. They're really getting
so
there.
So good.
Besides that, of course, our favorite brothers. Their show
is
getting.
Oh my god!
Their show is premiering.
Episode.
If you're unaware, which I don't know how you're listening to us and you're not listening to them, my brother and me, the trio of brothers, Justin, Travis, and Griffin.
McElroy. Stop saying their name.
I know, it's McElroy. They have a show on CISO. February 23rd, right?
No.
February 6th. 20th.
February 20th. I'm pretty sure it's February 23rd. I'm pretty sure I looked it up.
I didn't date the show. Oh, I caught myself.
I'm pretty sure it's February 23rd, because otherwise I wrote an article and it has the wrong date in it.
Either way,
it's coming out
soon, and the first episode is free on YouTube, and it is fantastic.
It is really, really good. So if you guys don't have CISO and you live in Canada, I'm sorry, but American audiences can just watch it. Get a
fire stick. Everybody else is going to
do it. You can't
say I mean, don't there. Do that, because we like them.
And no, get a fire stick. Get a fire stick. Just don't fucking modify it, like all you people have been doing, since we are fucking sponsored by an Amazon company, Kevin.
What? All I said was get a fire stick. You're the one who's implying that they hack it, you loser. Who do you think you are? Adam, whatever his name is from the hack game?
I'm just...
Okay. That's 23rd.
Adam Jensen.
Okay. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I think we're about done with the show.
Nah.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
I think we got another thing.
What's our thing?
The word CISO has 5 letters. That's my amazing fact.
Oh, that's right. Guys.
The best part of the whole show.
Yeah. Let me tell you about where you can find us. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic.com. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/SGC6464 spelled out. Twitter is also a place that we utilize. Our main Twitter is @SuperGameCast64. If you want to talk to me, I'm @SGC64Matt.
I'm @gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm @ttramalio.
You can also email us. That's sgc64mail@gmail.com. If you go on iTunes and leave a review, our review robot, 2K12-3000, will read it out, and it'll be just like it was today.
Yeah.
So, guys, thanks for listening. Next time, we'll have a few more indies for you. We'll be probably talking about maybe some Halo Wars, some Ghost Recon, something or other. We'll figure it out. We always do.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I was your host, Matt.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Tyler.
And we still don't have a new tagline, so for now, don't stick it to anybody.
Wait, I have a game fact.
Oh, that's right! That's right!
How did you blow it?
I'm sorry, dude, I blew it. Kevin, you have a delicious game fact.
So, you guys are familiar with the game, I think it's pronounced Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon.
Yeah, the one where you captured dragons and have them dogfight each other.
Yeah.
Apparently, Gold and Silver were supposed to be the end of the franchise.
That would have been a bad idea.
The CEO was quoted saying, "I thought once we entered the 21st century, it would be time for me to do something else."
Wow.
Could he be more wrong?
Yeah. That's like the guy who sold off his Apple shares and then was like, oops. I really needed that fucking $10 for a pack of cigarettes and oops. Oops, I could have just not had to work the rest of my life. Oops. Sorry, Steve. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. And as always, stick it to somebody you love and care for. Nice, dude.